on credit. He tries the songs I'm not willing to even try to sing. So, appreciate everybody being here this morning. We do have a few out this morning, and I can tell I don't see a few faces, but if you were to look at the pews, you wouldn't realize that there were so many gone because we got a good number of visitors with us this morning. So we welcome all the visitors. It's always encouraging to have visitors, especially when people would be gone because they feel a whole lot emptier. There's a few that are not here this morning. So we want to keep them in our minds, but we are certainly thankful for everyone that is here this morning. I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we do go through the lesson this morning and see that it is the Word of God that we do our best to preach from, that we follow, and we want to make sure that it is being done correctly. And if you have any questions or comments or thoughts on the lesson this morning, please let me know, and we'd be more than willing to study further in detail. If you feel like something's misspoken, again, let us know so we can make sure that we are teaching the truth and that we are following God's pattern. Nothing better we could be doing to start off our new year than coming together and being with brother and sister in Christ to edify one another, to uplift one another, to shine His light as we have this opportunity to do so. We've just started in the adult class and just finished up in the young adult class studying members of one another. So I thought it'd be a good time to bring out a lesson I did in the meeting in Evansville on, are you a member of the local congregation? Bring out a few points that we'll probably get into as we go throughout the lessons, but go ahead and go through this lesson. Again, just as a reminder of what the series was kind of focused on, it was focused on not do have you been placed in membership here at a local congregation or wherever it is that you attend at, but are you truly that member of the local congregation? Not do I just identify as a member and that I am there, and but do you do the full role as a member of the local congregation? Are you actually acting as a member of the local congregation? So that's what I want to talk about this morning. To start off, I want to bring out a point that there is a need for local congregations, that we see biblical examples of local congregations, that we do see throughout the Word of God that we should be members of a local congregation. Because I know there are those out there today that you can get caught up in talking to and studying with, and that they don't believe that you have to be a member of a local congregation, that you don't actually have to place membership anywhere. And I don't believe that's following a biblical pattern as we look to the Word of God. And so, to start off, just local congregations. Were there local congregations? Are we supposed to be a member of the local congregation? And I believe if you look at half of the books, or more than half of the books of the New Testament, then you're going to see that there's local congregations. Because you start off and look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, as Paul's writing to who? He's writing to the brethren in Rome. It says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. So he wrote to the brethren in the churches in Rome. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. He wrote to the churches in Corinth. It says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Again, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2. It's a letter to who? It's a letter to the church in Galatia. Galatians 1 and verse 2. To all the brothers and all the brothers who are with me to the church of Galatia. And this is a continuous point. Again, as we go through these letters that Paul wrote, he's writing to churches. He's writing to local congregations to encourage them in Ephesians and in Philippians and Colossians. He wrote to these brethren, to these local congregations, to those who are in Philippi and Christ of Colossia, to the church in Thessalonians. And so they were local congregations. It's a biblical example. It's a biblical set here. As we look through, that it's continuously pointed out that as the church began in Acts chapter 2, and they stayed there within Jerusalem for a good while, until Paul, as his name was Saul at the time, made havoc of the church, and then they started to divide up, and they went to multiple places, continuing
to spread the Word of God. And so as they spread the Word of God, then Paul went on these trips, and other apostles and disciples went on trips, and they started local congregations. And as we look and think about local congregations, another to bring out, Acts chapter 14, it's not just to the brethren or to the saints there, but to these congregations. In Acts chapter 14, if you will, Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, again, this shows that there are local congregations and that there's a need for the local congregation. Acts 14 and verse 23 says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church." Now, if we just, you know, go into the mindset, well, there is only one church, right? There is only one body. Well, how can you say every church? Right? Well, what it means is, yes, there is one universal church that we are supposed to be a member of. That when we are baptized in Acts chapter 2, and you read the very end, it says the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. That is the universal church there. But then you have local congregations. The church in Rome, or the churches in Corinth, or the church in Galatia, or church at Ephesus. And so here we see they said appoint elders. It says here, they appointed elders for them in every church. And with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And so there were even the local leadership, again, that we are supposed to work towards having elders of this congregation. And the elders of this congregation wouldn't have authority over the congregation over at Southside, or the congregation where my parents are in Terre Haute, or the local congregations of visitors that are here this morning where they attend, that they each would have their own set of elders, leadership. And so as we study the Word of God, we need to understand that there were local congregations, that we have a biblical example for it, and that there is a need to place membership. Because as, again, we are held accountable when we talk about having elders that look out for your soul. And if you're not a member of a congregation, well, then who is looking out for your soul? How can you be part of that congregation? When we get caught up in asking in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and you give up on the first day of the week, well, where is it that you lay by in store every Sunday if you're not a member of the local congregation? And so we are to be members of a local congregation. There's a need for it. And I ask you, are you a member of the local congregation? And that starts off with, yes, placing membership. Letting it be known, I want to identify as a member here and being accepted by the brethren. And so we have a need to become a member of a local congregation. Next thing I want to look at is one person does not make the church. And I kind of got into this a little bit in the adult class this morning. And one person does not make up the church. And so turn along with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in reading verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ." It's bringing all the members make up the body. All the members do. So as we continue in these verses, verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but many." It does not consist of just one. I cannot go out into the world and say, "I am the body of Christ." I cannot go out into the world and say, "I am the church." Because I don't make up the entire church. I don't make up an entire congregation. I don't make up the entire body of Christ. I'm simply a member of the body of Christ. And so you see there in verse 15, it says, "The foot should say, because I am not of the hand, I do not belong to the body." I mean, how much sense does that make? My foot here is part of my body. It is attached. It is connected with all the different parts that go forth from one part all the way up to the brain, and where it tells the rest of the body what's going on. If it were not there, I would have a harder time walking. The same thing, the eye is saying to the ear, "Because I'm not an ear, I'm not a part." Or the ear to the nose, "I'm not a part." How does that make sense? You know, we have our senses where we can see and we can smell and we can taste and we can feel. But if you lose just one of those things, it just does not work the same. It does not function correctly. There's something missing.
It's the same thing as we think about it, the congregation, that if we are just one person, we go forth and we talk about singing and teaching and admonishing. Who are you teaching and admonishing if you're singing to yourself? Now I'm not saying you can't sing by yourself. I enjoy singing. I enjoy when I'm by myself singing. It lifts me up, still builds me up. But you're not teaching and admonishing others. We can't go forth and teach others if we're not a member of the congregation. We are to be part of the congregation. We ourselves individually cannot make it up by ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, here it says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administering in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." It just brings up, are we all the same person? Do we all have the capability and ability to get up and lead songs? And I can answer that as no, because I go around probably every month trying to get other people to sign up to lead songs during singing night and to put their name on the duty roster to lead singing. They continuously tell me no. I'm not staring at nobody, I promise. But we all have different abilities. Willingness to step up and teach class, the willingness to lead prayer, those who are good at going forth and visiting and making meals to give to others or sending out cards, and they are all equally important in helping the congregation grow and helping and shining the Lord's light into others. You're all members of one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, again, and the reason that we have these different gifts is it brings out the need for multiple gifts, different talents that we have. Ephesians 4, in verse 11, it says, "And he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro in the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness, deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is head into Christ, the head into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, which each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself up in love." When you just think about what it's saying here, that you have these different talents. You have those who are teachers. You have those who are students. You have those who are song leaders, those who are visitors, those who are callers, those who text, those who write letters, and these different parts that all function together. Why? So that we can build up body of Christ. So we can encourage one another to grow in unity and be strengthened so that we're not going to be easily swayed one way or the other. We're going to go continuously down the straight and narrow path that God has given us. The need to be part of the local congregation and not just try to claim to be it by yourself. To individually try to go and fight this world of sin all by yourself. Again, I always use that analogy there in Genesis. When God looked up on Adam and said, "It is not good for man to be alone." I believe that individually, Christian-wise, it's the same point that we can look. God saw that it was not good, the temptation that was going to be there. He knew He needed a helpmate. He created women and made Adam a helpmate, made Eve. As a church, we are here to help one another. To continue to fight that good fight, to continue on that path. So are you a member of a local congregation, or are you going about this battle all by yourself? Do we have the brotherly love that we should have for one another? That as you look around the room, that you can sit here and say, "I love each and every person that's here this morning." that I have a concern for them, that I hope the best for them, that I want them to go to heaven. I want to be in heaven with them. We have a brotherly love for one another, truly caring for each other. Going back to Romans chapter 12 and in verse 10, love one another with brotherly love, brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. I mean, how often do we strive for that goal right there? And it's like, oh, they did something for me, I'll do something small back for them. But actually having the mindset that I want to do so much good that they can't repay me. Not just to hold that over their heads or anything. Not to sit there and say, well, you owe me, you'll never be able to. I mean, that's God, right? We can never pay God back. He's outdone us all. He gave His only begotten Son. He's forgiven us of sin. He's given us a way out of hell. How much can we do for each other? And truly loving and wanting to help. Not just because when they come to asking them for help, come begging and pleading for help, and you know you have to because you have to. But because you want to help one another, because you love that person. They don't have to come. You see them struggling and you go to them and just help them. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Let brotherly love continue. Let it continue. Again, as we get to this part, and it's the last part in our adult class, so we've got a ways to get there. But it's the last two lessons are about loving one another. And it's something that as you look to the church of Thessalonica, you look to the churches that the couple churches that Paul wrote to, and it's not that they were doing bad at it, but he says continue in it. Continue to grow in it. Continue to thrive in it. Something we must have. How is our relationship with one another? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 1. It says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Is that how we treat one another? That we approach one another as brothers and sisters? Do we look up to the older man as an example, as a role model, as a father? And older women in the same way as a mother? Do we look down at the younger ones and say, I am supposed to be a role model to them. I'm supposed to be guiding them in the right direction, teaching them, and giving them somebody they can turn to when they have questions. You're supposed to be a family. And sit back again, ask that question, are we brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we part of this local congregation? You turn along with me to James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, and in verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Here it brings out that we are to confess our trespasses, confess our struggles, our sins to one another. How often do we do that, Mark? I remember growing up, I have two older brothers and a younger sister that I grew up with. And as we've gotten older, some of the stories have gotten out to the parents. We tell them now as we get together, as family get. And how often the mom and dad go, well, I never heard that story. I never knew about that. But guess who did know about it? Brothers and sisters. We knew what was going on. We leaned on each other. We was able to turn to one another. The kind of relationship we should have as the local congregation, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can go to each other. We can go to another brother in Christ with something that you're struggling with. And they can help you overcome that temptation or that sin that you've fallen into. And it may just be one person that you end up going to at the time and point, but you know that person helped you and now it doesn't have to get out to the rest of the world and doesn't have to get out to the rest of the country. We're there for each other. Or if it's something that does need to come and maybe be announced to all so that we can all pray for you. Again, I believe I said it during a class that, you know, here it says that the prayer of one person, a righteous person, has great power. How about the congregation? The entire congregation praying for you, to assist you, to help you, to give you strength. How much more from one person to 60 people praying for you? We have to have that kind of relationship to be able to turn to one another to confess our trespasses to. To be willing to admit to somebody saying, I struggle with anger. Or I struggle with cursing. Or I struggle with alcohol. Or I struggle with lusting. Or I struggle, whatever it may be. And sometimes it's hard to swallow, it's hard to admit. But that's who we should be, is that we should be able to do this because we are a family. So therefore, I ask, are we a member of the local congregation? Are we there for each other? Are we there so that we can help one another? In 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 15, it says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It says, everyone who hates his brother. Again, the attitude, if you have that attitude toward any of your brothers and sisters in Christ, God says, how can you expect to have eternal life? It compares you to a murderer. In verse 17 it says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. It says if we have what He needs and we keep it, how can you claim to be a child of God? How can you claim to have His love dwelling within your heart? God knows your heart. God knows where you are. Are we there for each other? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, where it tells us to do good unto all, especially the household of saints. Especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we are to love everyone. We are to do good to everyone. But when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, you're putting the extra cream on top. Especially our brothers and sisters. We are going more out of the way for them than we are the rest of the world. Love your neighbors as yourself. But then here, as we get these verses here, there's something more that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love and relationship that we have for each other. I jumped ahead of myself there in James 5. Confessing our sins to one another. And again, as you turn to 1 Timothy 3:1, they're getting into the qualification of elders. The one who is willing and desires to look out for other souls. Those who desire a good task, a noble task. Willing to step up in that leadership position, knowing that they are going to be judged for how they do in this job, in this position. Shepherding this flock. But again, isn't that the love and desire and hearts that we should have for one another? That we should be always looking out for one another, keeping watch over each other, helping each other continuously grow. Are we members of the local congregation? And again, being there for each other is willing to approach our brethren who are slipping or falling or who has already fallen. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, as it says, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens, you have gained your brother. So go and tell him his fault. As Thessalonians says, go and when we warn them and then they don't hear the word of God, then you don't have part with them. But it says, but warn them as a brother. Lovingly with your heart. You are warning them because we care for them. I mean, it truly says something. And if our heart is more focused on, well, I'm just going to let them continue in it, knowing that it leads to a path of destruction, eternal damnation, to ignore that situation, again, can we say we have love for one another? Sometimes, well, I'm not going to bring it in front of anyone else. That's between him. That's not what it says here. It says if you know, you go talk to him. If that doesn't work, you go bring a couple people with you. If that doesn't work, you bring it in front of the church. Why? Because our hope is to gain them back. Well, our hope is that they'll become ashamed of their sin and turn to God. Are we a member of the local congregation? It comes to giving also. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 6, or 16 and verse 1 and 2. As we give up on the first day of the week, as we have already done this morning here, but it reads again, why are we giving? It's not just so that we said we gave back to God, but it says, now concerning the collection for the saints. I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also do. On the first day of the week, each of you put something aside to store up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And why would it matter if there would be collecting when I come? He's saying, because I'm coming, and you guys have promised to give a gift, and so that gift will be prepared, and I can take it, and they're going to give it to others. Because they were concerned for the brethren. For the saints. Are we there for each other? And again, it comes to actually coming together, being with one another. Do we come together? Do we assemble with one another? That is part of being of the local congregation. If you are never here, are you a member of the local congregation? Are we a member of the saints? In Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is there a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, the right attitude as we come together. Because that springs, let us consider how to stir up love. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. It's not, I'm going to go to church so that I can take the Lord's Supper so that I can go to heaven. Yeah, that's part of it. But also because the doors are open, and then considering that I could be in that pew, and I could be singing out, and I could say amen, and I can be there encouraging my brethren. Because if you're not here, how are you encouraging us? How are we encouraging others? If we're not here, gathered together. Again, your hearts have to be in the right place. Our mindset needs to be in the right place. Charlie read earlier in 1 Corinthians 11 how when they gather together, it's for the worse. Not for the better, because they weren't gathering for the right reason. They had no concern for the rest of them. They were eating while the others were starving. They were getting filled and they didn't have nothing. Their mind wasn't focused on the Lord's Supper like it should have. Let us come together for the better. We're taking the Lord's Supper. And again, the examples as we look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 33. It says, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another.
So as you read the example here in 1 Corinthians 11, and you can go back all the way back to verse 17 and start reading through it all the way up to this point, it makes mention of coming together. How they were coming together, how they're supposed to be coming together. And it's talking about the Lord's Supper. It's talking about observing the communion of Christ. It's something we're supposed to do together. So we need to make sure we do come together as a member of a local congregation. And again, I understand that there are times in which you get caught up in work, and I understand there's times in which we are too sick to come to worship. And I understand there's times you're traveling and you visit other congregations. And so, but if you're never here, are you a member of this local congregation? Do you commune with the brethren here at Westside, or commune with the brethren wherever you're a member? In the communion that Christ has given us. And the unity and the fellowship we have in that. And addressing one another and teaching and admonishing another in these psalms and hymns. I mean, not just are we coming together, but do you sing out when you're here? Again, I love when I hear different people sing. Sometimes people sing out at different parts that you can tell they like that song better, or they're willing to sing out and certain when there's different parts of it. And you hear it a little bit more. It makes me smile when I hear a voice I don't hear that often. Of course, when you're in different spots, we hear the same people most of the time. But it should be something that builds us up, that encourages us, because we should be teaching and admonishing each other. So again, I ask, are you a member of the local congregation? And not just do you identify and you've placed membership here, but do you continue to do the work as a member here? What part do you have? Can it be said that if you were not to show up, would it be noticed? If you were not to do the parts that you do, would it go unnoticed? Would someone have to step up to fill that spot? And understand, it's noticeable on the what we might call little things. As we went through in the young adult class, how they made mention of some of those who, you know, it seems like before they even got out of the church building, they probably got a text from somebody when they weren't here at worship. Or they got a card from somebody because they weren't here. And then it's noticeable. It may not be noticeable out in the wide open and you're up here standing in front of everybody. It's noticeable. I look forward to the study that we're going to have in the adult class, and enjoyed it as we went through the young adult class of being members of one another. Let us be members of the local congregation. Let us make sure we're helping this congregation grow spiritually and that we're shining the light for each other. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. If you're here, you need to obey the gospel and be baptized and wash your sins away. If you're here and need the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand.